Okay. You might have had levelled at you sometimes when you've done something really useless. People say to you, "Oh, for goodness sake, England's last hope." Well, in reality, you actually are England's last hope, because the church actually is the world's only hope. And we've got a guy here, James, who's going to come and tell us a little bit about what that church is up to, the International Justice Mission, and David is going to interview him. So if I give you your stick mic.
Thanks so much.
Hopefully I will be on as well. Sorry, have a seat.
No, great, wonderful. Thanks for so much for letting me come. It's such a privilege to be here and just to share a little bit about God's heart for justice.
Yeah, so this is great. So we've kept the teenagers in because we want them to be involved and hear this and get motivated about what's happening. So James, firstly, just tell us what and who, well, who are International Justice Mission? It does sound a bit Thunderbirdish.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds a bit like we're Captain America and Iron Man and everything. We're modern day abolitionists.
That just sounds so cool. Sign up now.
So I don't know if you know, but actually in the world today, there are more slaves than ever before. And when you think about slavery, you probably think about William Wilberforce and the transatlantic slave trade, where British slave owners will go and take people from Africa and make them become enslaved in American plantations. So that happened for 400 years. There are more slaves today than in 400 years of that transatlantic slave trade. But the incredible thing is there is a genuine solution, there is genuine hope, and we're a bunch of Christians across the globe that are seeking that out.
Fantastic. So I'm going to ask you in a minute a little bit more about the organisation and its Christian, how it's set up and the guy runs it and everything. But can you just kind of, before we show the video, can you just explain to us a little bit about what the work actually looks like? So how would somebody know on a Tuesday morning, somewhere around the road, oh, that's International Justice Mission, they've just done something?
Great question. So we are the largest anti-slavery organisation in the world. So what does that look like is a great question. So we combat a variety of different issues, such as slavery, such as sex trafficking, and we can combat all of these issues because they have the same root problem. Everyone knows the story of Noah. So obviously that is probably God's biggest act of righteous anger when he floods the entire earth. But does anyone know exactly why God flooded the earth? What made him so angry in a righteous way? It's really simple. Genesis 6 will tell you it's because the world was filled with violence. And the problem is that's still here today. You see it in the news literally every day. It's violence. And there's unbelievable manifestations of that, such as slavery, such as sex trafficking, such as police brutality. And so this is what injustice looks like. Is where people with power take advantage of people without power. And IJM has genuinely found a solution which allows that to stop, which is incredible.
So what does it actually, I mean, that's a big global big thing, but what does it look like? So what are the activities that IJM do to stop this massive global injustice?
So we work across the globe combating sex trafficking, slavery, police brutality, all these forms of violence. I've got a friend who's currently in Chennai in India, and he was part of our office which combats slavery, where you have people in brick kilns working 16, 18 hours a day. They have no freedom. That is what slavery looks like today. And so he was part of a rescue operation. So IJM works with governments. There is no way that this is sustainable unless we work with governments. So we're lawyers, we're social workers, right. We're coming alongside governments. And what we do is we partner with the police force, we partner with the judiciary to see justice done. So my friend was part of a rescue operation where we rescued 564 slaves. How many people are in this room right now? We've probably got about 100. 564. But that's not enough, because it's amazing to rescue people, but actually that's not the root problem. So we rescued 564 people, and my friend was there as these 564 men, women, and children walk onto a train into freedom, and then they go through a restoration problem. But actually, restoration process, not a problem. that would not be great. But actually, the solution is to stop it forever. And the way to stop it forever is to do justice. So imagine somebody steals something from you. Imagine somebody breaks into your home. Violence. What's your response today in our culture? What do we do when somebody violently takes something from you or attacks you? The police. You phone 999. But get this, the UN will claim that most of the world live outside of law enforcement. So William Wilberforce made the slave trade completely abolished in 1833 in the British Empire. By 1981, so about 150 years later, it was completely abolished across the world. So that's great. So the laws exist against sex trafficking, against slavery, against police brutality, against all these forms of violence. But what doesn't exist is law enforcement. People can't phone up 999 because the police either aren't working effectively or because they're actively working against the poor and the oppressed. So we work to train the police force, to empower them, to work with the judiciary, so that actually when you have this slave master who is keeping these 564 slaves, we can make sure that he is put in jail for his actions. Because currently, a slave master in India is more likely to be struck by lightning than convicted for his crimes. So in that environment... More likely to be struck by lightning than convicted for his crimes. How off the wall is that? And that's why there's more slaves in the world today than ever before.
So what you're saying is IJM works at an international level with people of power. It works in local cities for that law enforcement, but it also does rescue missions of people, individuals, actually right in the, where it's actually hitting, isn't it?
Yeah, completely.
Okay, so this video that we're going to watch is one of those rescue missions about a guy called Gideon. And so I think we're just going to watch this video now, and I'm going to ask James a few more questions afterwards.
Ñi ko ne gidi ma ci nugu ma ñap yene ne ma ko ma le ñu me ci ma bu be may ku ñap ko to meñu ke e bagiye ke ba toñe le na nañu bo bagiye ñu ma me ba jete le gama ma le bla ho be ma joyi na nañu bo yi ma ale ñu bla be na nañu ku e ta ke Allez, ne blâme ni ma fofonye bi. Et la quoi gare la vache ni kodui. Mais Dieu est fait bien. Mais mien nana li. Mi la Dieu yé gbo. Et fofonye no vin. Ah, hopa. Salut. Oh. Mais l'on yé n'a me bien. Nana ni vi. Mais du bien, un an vient de faire les nids. Dis-moi que midi, dis-moi mes vacs bleus, à mon mauve, dis-moi les dix bleus mes vers.
Wow, that's a heart-wrenching video which really wound me up, because that's going on in the world. But what I want to hear is, in a way, any organisation can do that. Just tell us what specifically Christian about is. Tell us a little bit about Gary Housen, the guy who set it up. What's the background and the heart of RJM?
That's a great question.
These are your questions, by the way. That's why they're great.
Our founder is a man called Gary Haugen. He's a Christian who was the chief investigator during the Rwandan genocide in 1994. So he's working for the UN. And he saw what international development was trying to do, which is obviously to help the poor. So when you think about international development, you probably think we need to help and serve the poor through providing food, through providing education, through providing healthcare. But Gary, when he saw this genocide happened, realized that if there's a man with a gun standing in the way, then all of these attempts are null and void. Mm. So actually, what international development needs to do is to end this corruption, to end this violence, which is what we do. So biblically, we want to live out what was in Genesis 6, that God wanted to see an end to violence. We want to carry on that message of Exodus, where God calls Moses, an 80-year-old man with a stutter who's a murderer, to rescue an entire nation from slavery. This is so deeply embedded on God's heart. In Luke 4, Jesus' opening manifesto is about Jesus coming into his hometown and seeing, I'm here to proclaim freedom for the captives, to see the oppressed set free. This isn't something that's on the periphery of the Bible. There's over 3,000 passages that talk about justice. So if you literally cut out every passage about justice in the Bible, your Bible will literally fall apart. The incredible thing is, our message of grace isn't just about mercy, it's also about justice. That justice is the accountability. It's that part in Romans that you guys are studying on Wednesday, when Paul says that actually we need to come to a place of grace, but to come to a place of grace, we first need to come to a place of repentance. We need to come to a place of accepting that we are weak so that God is strong, so that we can embrace Jesus who died for us on the cross. And we're trying to bring that to criminals by helping them to repent, to see that they're wrong, and by setting the oppressed free.
Now, the next question here is, what does the Bible have to do with justice? But I think you've just highlighted
just
how much
that to me. Sorry.
But can I just say, you know, from a punter's point of view, what I absolutely love about RJM is it's working with policymakers internationally. But myself, having been involved in community work with local government and national government, there's a breakdown. Everything sounds great at the top level on the TV. But you and I know grassroots, day in, day out, Monday to Friday, something breaks down somewhere where these massive policies just don't work out, and RJM is actually doing both at both ends, which is really good. So tell us, in the UK, because that's a long way away, some of those places, what does RJM do in the UK?
I won't say it's a great question. So obviously the areas of greatest need are in Ghana, in India, in places where you can't phone 999. Because that's where the justice systems are inherently broken, and that's what we're trying to fix from the top to the bottom. But if you think about many of the great things that we've got in the UK, I know it doesn't feel great at the moment, but the NHS, the education system, all of these different items, they came and they started from the church. They came and they started from groups of people gathering together in church, local communities, and saying, actually, our children need to learn. We need to help each other, to look after each other. It's these social welfare programs that happened in our nation that saw the growth of what is now the establishment, the government. And the government was left in the position where there's nothing they could do but actually do the school system properly. All of these things started with us. And so what IJM is doing is actually nothing new. We're just walking in the steps of Moses, in the steps of William Wilberforce, in wanting to be abolitionists in the day-to-day. So Steph, who works with me, Steph and I, we're really privileged to see in the UK church communities rise up to respond to this. Last year, I don't know if you know, but in Parliament, something was passed called the Modern Slavery Act, which was a really great step in the right direction, which now means in the UK, we have the most cutting-edge anti-slavery policy in the entire world. Our country is waking up to this issue. And you know, I don't know if you know, but there's something called a slavery commissioner now. Now, it's really rare for the UK to appoint commissioners, because basically a commissioner's job, whatever that area is to tell the government they're doing things wrong. So it's really rare for a commissioner to be appointed. He's the anti-slavery commissioner. And this happened because our founder, Gary Haugen, spoke at a church in London. And off the back of that, a group of people came together, did some research, and that made the bill go through Parliament a few years later. It happened in church.
That's awesome.
So what we're left with is a situation where all I'm asking of you is, would you be an abolitionist with us?
Well, look, let's just put this slide up. Start of my seven slides, Steph. This is one thing we can do. We've got a prayer day coming up, which is great. Tell us about that in a minute. But is there anything else? We've got young people here who are aspiring to make a difference. You know, we've got people like me that are in the mid-life who've not had a crisis yet. And we've got people that retire, who've got time on their hands and want to make a difference because they're not old yet. So what can we do?
Don't start something new. There are so many great organisations out there that are already doing great stuff. So we work alongside other organisations who are also abolitionist groups. And so don't start something new. Join the movement. And I know at first you're going to think, you're going to roll your eyes and think, this may sound pathetic, but the first point, the thing that we can all do is pray.
Well, presumably because people are doing dangerous things like we saw in the Gideon last story. So that's proper spiritual warfare, that, isn't it?
Completely, yeah. We're literally, the thing about justice is you're taking light into incredibly dark places. A new area we're working in is cyber sex trafficking, where girls as young as 2 years old are being abused in their homes and it's being uploaded online. That's spiritually dark. And we need light to go into those dark places. And so what I would ask of you is to pray, because that's your conversation with God. That's you asking God, what does it look like for me to be an abolitionist? My career, my path, my free time, how do I make this curve towards God's heart for justice? And this starts with prayer. So please, 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 Steph's going to be there, I'm going to be there. Join us 2 weeks on Saturday at our prayer gathering in St. Paul's, Hammersmith. We're going to have people who have run some of our offices combating sex trafficking and slavery there. And it's just a day when we celebrate what God has already done and what is yet to come. And then also, we send prayer updates every fortnight about all the people that we're rescuing, about the ongoing operations, about the challenges that we're facing. We would just be so grateful if you came alongside us. Just about every movement you can think of started with little groups of people praying. It started with, a couple of old grannies in Wales starting up a prayer revolution. It starts just with prayer, because this is where we capture God's heart. This is where we learn what God's wanting to do. So please, we'll be next to the biscuits, because you're all going to come and get biscuits. So come and talk to us. We can talk about how you can use your time, how you can join us. But the thing that we can all get alongside is please sign up to get prayer updates.
Yeah. Now, just quickly, how many people are in the organisation that work worldwide?
We have about 600 or 700 people who work directly for IJM, but obviously the best thing that we can do is partner with other organisations. So we have hundreds of partner organisations, and in India alone we've got 80,000 people praying for us. So what? UK, we need to rise up.
Well, look, we're going to do that right now in a slightly different way than we normally do, and this isn't to make anyone uncomfortable. And if you're a visitor here and aren't cool with praying, that's fine, just watch. But what I'd love you to do is just gather in your chairs where you are now. Just grab the person next to you, maybe three or four of you. You might have to change, turn around. And let's just spend the next couple of minutes praying about this. Whatever rises up in your heart about this, let's do it out loud in the tiny small groups or in pairs. And just let's just do that for the next minute or so, okay? That'd be great. So let's just pray together. Don't spend ages discussing it. Just turn around and let's start praying. And let's ask God to move powerfully, supernatural warfare, and let's deal with this justice issue. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stay here, we'll pray together.
Lord, we thank you for all the things that you have placed in our hearts, and Lord, all the way that you are calling your church to be the hands and feet of you on this earth. And Lord, we just thank you that you are calling everyone into freedom, be that physical and spiritual. And Lord, we just we pray over Belvedere Baptist Church and this local community and all the great things they're doing. And Lord, we just pray that that this can just be another part of what you want to see happen, Lord, on this earth. And we pray that we can all come together and just be abolitionists, Lord.
Lord, I pray for your heart and hands in James's life, Lord, where this road will take him and this work throughout his life. I pray you'd anoint him in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for all the workers for IJM around the country and around the world, Lord, those 600 or 700 people, Lord. We pray provision continually come in, continual support from authorities, in their work, and we pray for your protection over those relationships that keeps that money, that funding flowing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for every person, Lord, that is affected by slavery, that is becoming a victim of angry, strong, resentful, bitter, powerful people, Lord. We pray for your powerful deliverance in the name of Jesus, that these people will be rescued from the hand of the oppressor. And we praise you that that is what your gospel is all about.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to set the captives free. We thank you, you're the God who brings freedom. We thank you that you do that practically and spiritually. And we pray for your anointing on the work of IJM around the world. We pray for the gathering of people together in the next few weeks to this prayer day in Hammersmith. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Well, let's come back together again. We're going to continue to worship God before I share with you the message this morning. Thank you, James, so much for coming. I think we should give James a round of applause for giving up his Sunday and coming to share that with us as well. Appreciate that.